Is there some buying coming from China? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. With the government shutdown, there's a lot of wonders of the talk that we're hearing about some trade purchases, wheat, sorghum, for example. Jeff Peterson joins us. He is with Heartland Farm Partners. So let's kind of kick it off there. What are you hearing when it comes to these buys?
Well, it's interesting. So starting first on the wheat side, you know, it looks like they have for sure picked up a couple cargoes. And what's important about that, it has been, you know, almost a year, a little over a year since really China had been in the market for any U.S. wheat. And lots of different stories on in regard to what it's going to be used for, whether they're using it as some type of political gesture, whether they actually have a demand for some maybe some better quality wheat that they can go ahead and blend in. There's a lot of that being kicked around right now. And I think over on the sorghum side, much as what we always see China doing, we just see them purchasing ultimately value. And when you look at where the basis is at on sorghum and you look at what that price is in relation to corn, we know that they've imported sorghum before from the U.S. And now they are trying to also import sorghum from other countries or get it approved. I think they're in the process. They don't have it approved of getting approved to come out of Brazil. But, you know, when they bring this sorghum in, it's very versatile to them. They can use it as, you know, as feed. They can use it some industrial processes, you know, and they also can use it in the production of some alcohol that they do. So, you know, lots of different reasons that it could be brought in and lots of different reasons they're doing it, Susan.
So do you think we're going to see some purchases, though, come in regards to soybeans?
Yeah, and that's what's been really interesting. You know, as you sit back and think about a week ago, how excited everybody was. The fact we had President Trump and President Xi meet, and it looked like we were making some progress there. And, you know, there was a few cargoes purchased, you know, three maybe before the trade talks, maybe another four after. You know, and so everybody was going, okay, now what are the details? And we knew that we didn't have a formal deal signed, but we knew that 12 million metric tons was being talked about, which is 440 million bushels, which would be close to almost, you know, 200 cargoes. But the bid showed up a little bit. We saw a little bit of trade happen. You were able to watch that in some of the basis levels and what happened up in the Dakotas and predominantly in the North Dakota. And then all of a sudden, we don't see much additional bid action up there. The bids are not that active. And as a result of that, then everybody's going, wait a minute, can this actually get executed? And I think that's the nervousness that's coming into this market now. Now, on top of that, the other thing that happened that impacts this is the fact that Brazil's basis levels, you know, dropped. And all of a sudden, as you look at that Jan timeframe, and that's kind of the period of time when it looked like we'd see, you know, China step in and buy those you know, large packages of soybeans, large shipments of soybeans. You know, all of a sudden now we're not competitive, even before you put the tariffs on. And there was some thought that maybe we'd be able to take the, maybe China would take the tariffs off completely on the U.S., and that's not the case. You know, they did reduce them. You know, what you're looking at is that right now the United States was have a 13% tariff on soybeans going into China, and Brazil would have a 3% tariff as of right now. So that's kind of where things sit right now. I don't think we're going to be able to see them execute. Part of the reason I believe that is that we still haven't heard anything out of China in regard to what they're thinking the quantities are. We generally always hear that China has some type of, you know, what the prices have to be competitive clause in their agreements. And so I just think it's going to be hard to get the shipments done in the time frame that's going to be talked about. So I think over time, the market gets pretty nervous on this trade deal.
Well, then you've got the fact that South America is in the height of their growing season, and a lot of concerns already popping in about the planting and what they're seeing weather-wise. So that's going to make interesting for them moving forward.
You know, it really is. You're exactly right. As you dig in there, you know, take a look at Brazil first on the soybean side. They're about 58% planted on the bean side, a little bit less than where they would have been last year. Hear different reports on the corn side. I'd say on the corn side, they're probably up there 70, 75% planted. Now, it hasn't been perfect. They got off to a decent start, but there's been some dryness. Probably some of the east central part, you know, of Brazil had picked up some rain, but there's definitely some dry pockets, southern part of Mato Grosso, northern part of Mato Grosso, the Sol, and over into Goiás. And then you step on down into Argentina. And, you know, in the northern part and the western part of Argentina, there's some dry pockets, and overall there's some dry conditions next week. On the soybean side, they're about 4% planted on the soybeans, and that compares to about 8% planted last year. Overall, it looks like on the corn side, they're about 36% planted. I did find it interesting that coming out of the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, they are saying that the soybean plantings could be down about 4.3%. They think that ultimately what we could end up seeing is that they could see a little bit less early corn planted, could see a little bit more late corn planted. So we're going to have to kind of watch overall how that mix of crops that they're getting planted and the weather down in Argentina also, in addition to some of the concerns that are down there. But overall, if we're looking at both Brazil and Argentina together at this point, the fact that we've got a weak La Nina setup, I think we're setting pretty good. But if there is going to be some problems that show up, it is going to be in that that southern part of Brazil and into that northern part of Argentina.
Well, and as you and I talk, obviously the government is still shut down. There's supposed to be yet another Friday vote. But a week from today, we're actually going to get some very important information, and that's crop production and the WASDE report.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think we really need to see that information come out. We are really glad to hear some additional clarity being given on, you know, what was the methodology going to be for this November report. We know that last year there had been a little over 5,000 farmer surveys that, you know, they would have sent out. And this year, I'd assume it'd be something, you know, similar. So we know there'll be farmer surveys. And what it also does sound like is NASS was able to get their enumerators out, whether they are doing it while the shutdown is going on here, or they, you know, brought them out explicitly knowing they had a report coming up. I'm not sure. But they were able to also get objective yield data. So it looks like the information from the production side should be pretty much what we had before. It's just coming out just a little bit later. Report was planned on coming out on November 10th. It's going to be out on November 14th. And then we know that from the WASDE side, all the other world information that's getting pulled together, it sure should be available for this report also, which is going to be good to get everybody on the same page. Overall, we do believe that currently estimates, up in the over the 186, 186.7 area on the corn, that's too big a number. That number needs to come down. We think there's a chance that you really could get that corn yield, not necessarily in this report, but eventually you could get that corn yield number down somewhere close to where it would have been last year, which was in that 179.3 area.
So as we do the drive forward, what do you see as some of the biggest excitements that we could see push in this market?
Yeah, I think we got to keep a very close eye on what's going on with the signing of some type of deal with China. But even beyond that, I think we really got to see some type of shipments start going to China. Over this last week, one of the concerning things was that, you know, it was rumored that China had picked up about 24 cargoes of soybeans out of Brazil for the December and January timeframe, right in the timeframe when they need to be buying from us. So we got to watch what's going on there. In addition to that, we also want to keep a close eye on how oral arguments are, you know, they got started on Wednesday, hearing on this administration's, you know, how they're using the tariffs. So we got to keep a close eye and see. We know we won't get a response or a judgment, you know, probably until almost the end of the year. But I think on this, what we want to do is we want to watch how to the Chief Justices, how they ask the questions and kind of get a feel of what kind of the overall tone is there. In addition, we got to watch South American weather very, very closely to see how that crops are continuing to progress, and to keep a close eye on what's going to happen to the U.S. yield. And then when we see a yield adjustment going lower, what does USDA do in regard to the demand side? We know that currently ethanol demand is very strong. We know that the export shipment pace is way ahead of pace at this point of what the USDA was looking for. But we do know that the number that they've got plugged in regard to the feed number is too high. And we know that if they pull back production, we'll see some reductions there on the feed side. So those are some of the things we'll be watching going forward, Susan.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much. Jeff Peterson joining us today with Heartland Farm Partners. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Friday Market Wrap-Up right here on the American Ag Network.